Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. As always, glad that you are with me after Ole Miss secures a bounce-back weekend, a big series win, however you want to categorize it, as long as you are using a good, positive adjective. That is what you got this weekend from Ole Miss baseball. They beat top 15 Kentucky 2-1 in that 3-game series and get right back on track. And they still haven't come anywhere close to playing their best baseball yet. Now, they got to get to that point. They have to play their best baseball at some point. But the fact that they are able to win that series and they're still not anywhere close to their peak is a really encouraging sign. So we'll talk about that on this edition of the show and, of course, read some of your comments. We did already talk about Thursday's game on Thursday night show. So we'll focus on the last two games, really. Also, we'll do this later this week, but spring practice starting this week for Ole Miss football. So that's exciting as well. So I'm glad you guys are here. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and hit subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, subscribe, leave a comment, like all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. And before we get into it, I want to tell you that this edition of the show is presented by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, anywhere in Mississippi, home, auto, life, or for your business. Again, home, auto, life, or for your business, anywhere in Mississippi. Give them a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. Don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you. But even if you have auto insurance or home insurance or life or whatever it may be, it's still worth the phone call. You're probably going to get a better rate, and I know that you're going to get better service. So check them out, Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, for, again, home, auto, life, or for your business anywhere in our great state. So Ole Miss gets a top 15 series win, and that is without Cade Townsend. Don't have an update yet really on timeline with him. Again, nobody was overly concerned, but shoulder inflammation is still – I don't think that's nothing, obviously, because he did not pitch this weekend, but we'll see. I'll ask Mike Bianco about it tomorrow on the radio show, and we'll probably get a non-answer. And that's not a shot at Mike. I wouldn't give an answer either, knowing that you've got the Mississippi State series upcoming. I wouldn't give an answer regardless if I knew or not what he was going to do. But today's game in particular was huge, but let's start with Friday. So, again, we talked about Thursday's win. They did a lot of nice things on Thursday. The bottom of the lineup produced. Randall had a really good night defensively. Hunter Elliott was just absolutely exceptional in that game on Thursday night. And so you got a win. And the take then was you got to capitalize on it, right? That was a really impressive win, said a lot. But now you got to go make it count. And then Ole Miss turned around on Friday night, and they were just awful. Awful defensively for one inning in particular, and awful at the plate as well. Now, look, I know that it's not really fair because Jelkin is an exceptional pitcher, but Ole Miss's offense on Friday allowed him to be unbelievably, frustratingly efficient in the game. His pitch count was impossibly low, and obviously it's a guy that fills up the strike zone, but I do wonder if a few innings in, when you're just letting him cruise, if you don't work counts a little bit more than they did. It was a lot of a lot of early swings, a lot of lazy routine stuff for Kentucky early in pitch counts when the guy was cruising. What do I know? But an abysmal night at the plate and an abysmal night in the field, especially obviously in that fourth inning where the first one, it was a diving play. Federico had it in his glove, landed and the ball kind of came up out of it. I'm not going to hold that one against him, but the other two are just plays that you have to make in the outfield. I said on Twitter that the outfield, even though Golden didn't do anything, in fact, he had one of Ole Miss's four hits in the game, he wasn't really a part of it. But the outfield sometime this week needs to take Hudson Calhoun out to a really nice dinner, like his favorite restaurant in town, and also gift him like his favorite bottle of bourbon. Like, go to the top shelf, get him a really expensive bottle of bourbon, because there is no way, there's absolutely no way that he should have given up those three runs, only one of them earned, but there's no way that he should not have been able to get out of the fourth inning. He pitched well enough to get out of the fourth, and just routine stuff. Federico just, I mean, the first one, again, not talking about the first one, but the second one, just ball hits his glove and just pops out of his glove. And then Bissetta just can't track one in the outfield, lets one land in front of him. And that's how Kentucky scores their three runs. Calhoun was better. Now, I don't think it felt like his stuff kind of did start. He started losing gas a little bit, but you know, he's not supposed to be. His role is not weekend starter on this team in a normal circumstance anyway, but I thought he was absolutely excellent, and only going 3 2/3 is not reflective of the kind of night that he had. Struck out 7, again, should have gotten out of that fourth 3 times, and ended up, that inning was the difference in the game. But also after him, Robertson and Waters were excellent. They went 5 1/3, only walked 1, struck out 8 combined, only gave up 3 hits, and both of them were Waters. So silver lining for Friday's game was those guys were really good in relief. But I felt like at the time, well, what a disappointment to have the game that you had on Thursday and to turn around and have a really rough night at the plate. Again, I know, like, really good pitcher, best pitcher on Kentucky staff. But to play like that and to give up a 3 spot because you couldn't do routine things and have an off night at the plate was really frustrating. And then you turn around the next day, and this is what's the most important thing to take away from this weekend, is what happened yesterday, where Kentucky took the lead in yesterday's game 3 different times. So they started the game with the lead, scored 2 in the first. They had, and then Pichella had the grand slam. So Ole Miss took the lead back from Kentucky. But then Kentucky builds up a 3-run lead in the 5th. Ole Miss takes it right back in the 7th. Kentucky ties it up in the 8th. And then Ole Miss wins the game in the bottom. Well, doesn't win the game, but score enough runs, obviously, to win the game in the bottom of the 8th. 3 separate times Ole Miss had to come back. And they did that. Let me make sure I counted right. 1, 2. Yes, Ole Miss had to recover from, okay, I'm glad I counted correctly. It happened 3 times where Ole Miss had to score. And they did that, though. They responded all day, and they did it with home runs. You had 3 of those. Pichella's obviously the big one. But the thing to me that stands out the most, and something that this team needs to do more, is when Furness came up, the hit that won the game, I know it wasn't the bottom of the 9th, but he slapped a single opposite way. And then they scored 2 runs there. And then the next one was a sac fly. They manufactured offense yesterday. And again, they had 3 home runs in the game, 12 runs on only 9 hits because of the aforementioned home runs. But they got punched in the mouth a few times, and they just battled back. And they manufactured offense. And considering what happened Friday, that could have very easily been a spot where they didn't, not quit. But how many times watching that game yesterday did you think, well, that's it. That's it. You know, they're not coming back from that. And then, you know, they did. And then Kentucky hits a grand slam right back. They're not coming back from that. It was impressive. That was a mentally tough win for Ole Miss yesterday. Still got to get a lot more from Libert, a lot more from him if they're going to continue to elevate their ceiling as a team. I know the stuff is there, but this Mississippi State offense in particular that he is going to face this coming weekend, will punish you. It very well could be the best offense Ole Miss is going to see all season. So you've got to get more out of him. I would consider, I wouldn't make a change yet, but if it gets off to a really ugly start again on Sunday this coming weekend, I would consider shaking some things up with who I roll out there on Sunday if he can't give you more than what he gave you. And also, Koenig does not need to – it's a small sample size, but I don't know if he needs to trot out there and in pressure situations. I know it's really early. I don't think that with the bullpen that they have, he is somebody that needs to get the ball again in quote unquote pressure situations, but that's just me. However, Walker Hooks was excellent. 4 2/3, struck out 5, did give up just one run and scattered 3 hits, 63 pitches as well. What an outstanding performance from him to settle the game down, let the offense bring them back in. And Ole Miss ultimately gets a series win, a very nice one. This team hasn't come anywhere close to playing their best. You're still, you did that without a weekend starter. Obviously there's still a lot of improvement that can be made in the field. As we've talked about a lot, I'm just kind of concerned that they're just not going to be a good defensive baseball team, and it's just going to be something. And like we said, going into conference play, being that poor defensively is going to cost them games. The offense was atrocious on Friday, but defense cost them that game on Friday, and it will happen again if that doesn't get better. But they haven't come close to playing their best baseball yet, and they sit here at 3-3. They should be ranked when the polls come out tomorrow, and they're right back on track. Really good Mississippi State team incoming. They also could be dealing with an injury situation on the mound. With McPherson, he left a game, left the game on Friday doing the arm waggle thing. O'Connor said today that they got an MRI today and they'll make some kind of announcement. Hey Dad's going to talk to him tomorrow, just like I talked to Bianco, and he will certainly ask him. So hopefully we'll get an update there one way or another. But if he's out, that's a big blow for Mississippi State, because starting pitching, I do think, is that team's weakness. But that lineup, man, top to bottom, really, really good. And obviously it's a Mississippi State team that has had Mike Bianco's number as of late. And I say as of late, it's been years, quite frankly. Bianco's record over the last many years against Mississippi State has not been good. Crowd should be amazing. Huge test for Ole Miss. Should be a really fun and exciting series. But for now, good weekend. A lot of things to like. Still a lot of areas for improvement. But you see that there is life there. And not that they were dead, but there are the pieces on that team right now that, when put together, can be a team that can build a resume to become a host. We'll see if they can do it. The podcast, before we get to your comments, I'll tell you the podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. All you need is an internet connection, and then you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right, to the comments we go. Did you like the Spider-Man trailer? I did like the Spider-Man trailer. I did. I will probably watch it. I think I will. March is Madness today. Yeah, St. John's, Kansas was a lot of fun. Tennessee, Virginia got tight. Kentucky losing is funny to me. Iowa, Florida just was incredible. A lot of fun today. I know it's lacking in Cinderella, this tournament, but it's been a lot of fun still. Florida was overrated this whole time. See, I don't think they were. I just think this is the tournament. This is what happens.
It was a need to win series for baseball. I agree. Could have won all three if they were competent in the field. And it's big because there's a hot Mississippi State team coming in who bullied Vanderbilt, although I think Vanderbilt's pretty terrible this year. They are pretty bad. That's not a good Vanderbilt team. But, yeah, State was dominant. That their offense, I mean, it's 1 through 9, and then they've got a couple guys that get at-bats that they rotate in and out that are also – I mean, look at their averages here. It's pretty unbelievable what Mississippi State's offense is right now. Let's see. Here we go. All right. For guys that have had at least double-digit starts, okay, batting average, and it's going to be out of order because I sorted it based on starts, just to give you an idea. 457, 348, 299. That's Ryder Woodson, by the way. He's, you know, a bum, apparently, in this on this team. 316, 377, 382, 317, 400, 366, 433. It's a really, really, really impressive lineup. And they'll hurt you in so many ways. They've got power. They get on base. I think it's the best offensive team that Ole Miss will see this year. It's literally feast or famine with the offense, which can mean they never get swept, but also never sweep. But again, like, I really liked two things about Sunday, and I mentioned it a second ago, but I really liked two things about Sunday, and it's they got popped in the mouth a few times, got a bad start from Libert, coming off of a bad game offensively the night before, and they just stayed in it and just responded every time that they needed to. And then late in the ball game, you've got Furness up, and instead of trying to hit one 500 feet over the batter's eye, he just slapped a little opposite way single, and that was the difference in winning and losing the series. And that's something that I want to see from this team more often, is manufacturing offense. Yes, they have great home run hitters, especially Bissett has just been unbelievable really all season. And Uttermark can hit the ball 500 feet, you know, every time he's up. But when this offense does things like it did in the Saturday game, in game three of that series, look at how much more dangerous they are, as opposed to, you know, so often where it feels like every batter in that lineup is just trying to hit home runs every time. The difference was Furness just took it the opposite way, basic baseball stuff, and that's something that you need to see more from this offense if they're going to, you know, continue to climb and work their way back into being a regional host. They got to do stuff like that more often. Took me and the fiance out to the game on Saturday. Swayze felt like Swayze again. Here's to hoping this weekend gives similar results. Oh, it's in terms of crowd, it's going to be an absolute madhouse this weekend. What's the weather going to look like? I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Let's see, though. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Friday, high of 79, partly cloudy. Saturday, high of 65 without a cloud in the sky. Sunday, high of 72 without a cloud in the sky. Now, that 65 is a touch chilly. It's a teeny tiny bit chilly. When is first pitch, though? When is first pitch? 1:30. Oh, man, 65 degrees at 1:30 in the afternoon. Little quarter zip. Or like one of those light hoodies with shorts. That's my weather. I wish it would be 65 and sunny every single day. That's going to be perfect. I will change the rotation to Townsend back, move Calhoun to Sunday, and Rabe to top reliever, Waters to close in tight spots. I don't hate that. I think Libert's going to get one more shot at it. Maybe he doesn't, but I think Libert's going to get one more shot at it. And if it doesn't work this weekend, then you consider making some changes. Can't believe Iowa upset Florida. Man. What was it? The first Sweet 16 since 1999? Isn't that what they said on the broadcast? It's unbelievable. Just think they're going to get torched on Sundays with this current rotation. I tend to agree, especially with the offense that they got coming. This baseball team is frustrating. They live and die by the long ball and bad on defense. Years ago, Bianco was known for having great defensive teams. That was known for small ball. How things change. But the pitching staff is deep and talented, obviously. There's a lot of options there. Tonight in your family sports group chat was talking about how it feels like the Big Ten has passed the SEC. In your opinion, how much of that is on the TV deals that pay the Big Ten? I don't think it's that. I think simply put, the portal has leveled the playing field. To me, it's as simple as that. There's more player movement. You're not stockpiling kids at certain programs anymore. And everybody can be competitive. I mean, guys, look at Ole Miss, for example. Ole Miss is taking players via portal that would have stayed at Georgia. One of Ole Miss's starting safeties this year was a starting safety at Georgia this past year. It's a nationwide thing, but the SEC's eating its own. When a program like Ole Miss now is able to do what everybody, get the same players that everybody else can, Georgia can't keep their own guys. Texas, LSU, none of these programs can stockpile 85 of the best players in the country anymore. There's so much more movement, which has created a competitive balance. And even though everybody's so mad and we have all these meetings with Congress and everybody hates all this stuff and it's unsustainable and everybody's mad, but man, the football product, who doesn't have a shot? Indiana just won the freaking national championship, and you've got fans of lesser programs complaining about the system. And Nick Saban goes on his rant and, oh my gosh, we need Nick Saban to be the commissioner of college football. Why? He wants to return it back to the era that Alabama got to dominate and you weren't allowed to. That's that part of the discussion, the discourse is so dishonest. Like Eli Drinkwitz talking about how, well, now you've got $40 million rosters and $20 million rosters and college football is going to become Major League Baseball where you have the Dodgers and the Marlins. It's like, Eli, when has that not been the case? When you think Alabama and Nick Saban were so dominant just because of Nick Saban and everything was equal? When did Ole Miss and Mississippi State have the exact same resources and money and spending ability of Texas and Georgia? Tell me when it was that college football was equal. Tell me that. So we start these conversations at a position of dishonesty, and that's what frustrates me. And it's like I'm the old, there's very few. Andy Staples talks about this. I like Andy Staples so much because he is willing to just put his hand up and say, wait a minute, guys. When was college football fair? Tell me when. When has it ever been fair? So when you talk about, well, if we're not careful, it's going to become Major League Baseball. When hasn't it been? When has there not been? Anyway, I'm rambling now because it frustrates me. On the field, you have more competitive balance than you have ever had before, as evidenced by where players are coming from, where they're going. Like, this is tangible stuff. Like, you can actually, this isn't anecdotal. This isn't my opinion. This isn't wishful thinking. You can physically point to players are more spread out than they ever have been before. And programs that don't historically win are winning now more than they ever have before. How did that happen? Because it's more competitively balanced than it ever has been. And so, yeah, maybe this isn't sustainable. I tend to agree with that. But stop gaslighting everybody and talking about how we need to go back to the time when Alabama was able to stockpile all of the players and have all of the analysts and all of the money, and the schools one state over were so far behind from a resource perspective, and you're telling me that it was fair. I can't buy that. I can't buy that. Everybody, college football did an amazing job at convincing people that it was pure and that it was fair because it was neither one of those things. When are people going to wake up to that? I don't understand. It's so dishonest. So I know I take this stuff too seriously, but I got to hear what you have to say about Deuce. Did not like it. I have a feeling. I don't know. I have not talked to Deuce. The last time I spoke to him, it was about being a guest on the radio show, and that was a while ago. He has a son that was there for junior days, right? He was a prospect. I have a feeling that, especially after interacting with him a good bit over the years, that he is not, again, maybe I'm misreading this. I don't know. Maybe he's mad. Maybe he loves Lane Kiffin. I don't know. But go look at his tweets from November, and that'll tell you what he thinks about Lane Kiffin. I have a feeling that he's just a dude having fun online and didn't gauge the temperature of his fans when he put something online. He would not be the first person that did that. Maybe something's happened, but I would not at all be surprised if he's just, you know, just trying to have a little fun online and did not appropriately gauge the temperature. Definitely a positive winning these two games, but they're going to have to play their best to beat State. Just don't see it. State will crush them with fielding errors and Sunday pitching. Yeah, Ole Miss has got to be clean this weekend. They've got to be clean. I think Ole Miss has to beat State on Friday if they want to win. Yes, I think Friday is a must-win game if they want to win the series. Cinderella's basically dead now. It feels like that in basketball, that's who's getting hurt the most. In football, there's never been a Cinderella in football. It's almost impossible to have a true Cinderella. Like Boise State won a game in 2007, and that was fun, but like that concept never existed. I think in baseball, you're still going to have it. Unfortunately, you guys witnessed it firsthand last season. It does feel though like deep Cinderella runs are going to be fewer and further between. A lot of talk that Bill Self is out of Kansas due to health concerns. I'll ask because why not? Is Beard a candidate for Kansas? I would be shocked. I mean, maybe, but he just won 12 regular season games and this does not apply to everybody, but there will be some schools that will view him as unhirable. Whether or not you think that's fair is not up, you know, that's not part of the discussion. It's just that is a statement of fact. No, a guy that just won 12 regular season games, I don't think is going to be a candidate for Kansas, regardless of what his resume is. Maybe I'm wrong. High Point had a $4 million roster. Hard to call them Cinderella. No kidding. Their arena is beautiful, by the way. Now Arizona's on the brink with Utah State. Oh, I'm reading this. I'm a little behind, aren't I? Because Arizona's up 9 with a minute to go, but yeah. Hot take, we all love March Madness, and it's fun to watch. However, I'll die on this hill. March Madness is the worst way to crown a legit champion in basketball. Absolutely. It's a really fun tournament. It's a blast. Although, you know, you look at the past champions, and most of them are among the small group of best teams in the country. But no, and when it comes to basketball, one game single elimination is not the best way to determine a champion in basketball, but it's fun. Alabama and Ohio State were basically the Dodgers and the Yankees, and Texas is the Mets because they didn't win with all that money. Heck yeah. I agree with Drink on the 40 versus 20 thing, though. Yeah, it was like that, but it wasn't that public. Now that it's public and fans will automatically know they have no shot, they're going to check out. But here's my follow-up question, though. How did you not know that before? And the thing is, why do you think that you can't compete? There is no excuse now for a fan base to think, oh, my program cannot win. But seriously, because it wasn't public, people thought that their program that never won anything, that never signed good players, that never won anything was going to win. But now that you know that you can go get players and do it a certain way, it's more discouraging. I don't understand that. I mean, maybe the bowl, like diminishing the bowl system may be part of the problem because that no longer feels like an accomplishment. I mean, it's like Chase Parham has said numerous times, it feels like we're killing it at the roots and we just don't see it yet. I mean, and the thing is, I tend to agree with that. I do think that they're going to do the extreme in time to not allow that to become reality. I mean, they're talking about breakaway. What was the story over the weekend where, I mean, they're having some kind of committee within the NCAA talking about a breakaway? Yeah, an autonomy subdivision is what they're calling it. Now, I don't think that the NCAA needs to be a part of it. I think if Greg Sankey's being smart, and I hope that he is, you don't involve the NCAA in that. But the counter to that would be attendance is up and ratings are up. I mean, if people are going to the games and people are watching the games, where's the evidence of the rot? Like, I think it's there, but honestly, Matt, to me, most people, the overwhelming majority of people, don't really know or really care about how much a player is getting paid. Oh, they think, oh, the portal's ridiculous, but most people don't consume sports the way you do. 67,000 people in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium are not all locked in on message boards and social media and listening to podcasts. Most of the people there love to go to Oxford and bring their little boy to the game, and they watch the game, and they have some beers, and they visit with friends, and they go home, and they go right back into their routine. They don't obsess over it like we do. So as long as the Grove is still there, and as long as Oxford's still there, and Vaught-Hemingway is still there, and they're still wearing the uniforms and playing the fight song, the overwhelming majority of people are going to show up and keep showing up and keep showing up. The expenses are going to turn people away more than player movement and players getting paid. It's the ticket prices going up, and that is a byproduct of that. But that's happening everywhere. That's going to be more turning people away than players transferring. It's the inability to afford to go. Everything in life is more expensive now. My God, insurance, medical insurance for me. Like, I don't know what I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what we're going to do. No idea. There's a lot of options. None of them are good. So, and there's a lot of people like me, that is going to be more of a deterrent than, well, those players transferred, in my opinion. But I do think they're going to end up breaking away and doing all that needs to be done before then. Be interested to see if North Carolina makes a coaching change from Hubert Davis. His coach's show got canceled tomorrow. So you rank all the major postseason tournaments, college football playoff, NHL, NBA, NFL, NCAA tournament, NBA last. NBA last. I like college football more. I think the NFL playoffs produce better games, but I like college football playoff more. So college football number one, NFL number two, NCAA tournament three, NHL playoffs four, NBA playoffs five. When is spring practice? 5 days. So I believe they start on the 27th, I believe is when they start. People calling Texas Cinderella with Sean Miller. It's, yeah, Texas Cinderella, my rear end. Have a bunch of family and friends that are State fans. They have been saying for years now that State can't win consistently in football. All I'd say to them is look at Indiana. If you buy in, you'll win. Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, there aren't many programs in today's era or before that could consistently win in football. Go Furman. My bracket might be wrecked, but I had hope. Man, they played well, didn't they? I was really proud. I was proud of the boys. Yes, Mississippi did want to pass a bill excluding the athletes from income tax, but that got shut down strongly. And I have a feeling the people that wrote the bill did not expect the public backlash to be what it was. Everybody hated it. We're all being priced out of a lot of things right now. No kidding. Did you put the NBA last just because the Pels suck? No, I think the NBA, and again, I like it. I am a fan of the NBA. I think right now the product is an atrocity. Their playoffs are fun. Like, I watch them, but you're telling me that the NBA playoffs in the NBA as a product, what it puts on the floor, is more compelling than the NCAA tournament? No. More compelling than college football's playoff or the NFL? No. I think what Adam Silver has allowed to take place with the NBA is, it's horrible. And, you know, some of his public comments too, like you witness it, right? You watch it. You've seen him allow the tanking and the, like allowing players to have rest days, even though they're not hurt. All of that stuff. He's even said out loud, well, it's fine that our fans can access our games because they just watch highlights online anyway. I mean, that's the kind of person you're talking about that's running this league here. It's lacking depth. And I don't mean depth in terms of talent. There's talented players, there's fun stars, but what are the compelling storylines that the average sports fan would grab onto? I mean, every night I watched a Pelicans game, and after they win or lose, they're best friends with the other team. Like, they all like each other, and it's just that there's no – and then they're going to add two more teams to an already watered-down product, and I don't know, man. I think 99% of that league's problems are – the person in charge, the people in charge. Sankey's getting closer by the day of being on that list. These next 6 months for him are huge in so many ways. I mean, leading the discussion on breakaway, going to the 9 conference games, the implications of that, that there's a lot that he's got to deal with. I mean, frankly, I think he's, when the time comes, he's going to have to deal with the fact that, I mean, the Kiffin thing was an embarrassment for his league. Truly, if you think about how that went down, and it involved three different members of his league while one of them was making a run to the playoffs, the Florida game in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium was an embarrassment. Not your fault, not Ole Miss's fault, not the fans' fault, great atmosphere. But the conversation around it, the Egg Bowl was an embarrassment. Cutting to Marty Smith on the sidelines every 10 minutes for an update about that, that was embarrassing. And I don't know if the league intervened or not, or if they could have, but that was a really bad look on the SEC allowing that if they could stop it. Maybe they can't stop it, but you are the boss after all. It is your league. Think back on that, guys. Think back on how all of that went down in the saga around that. And tell me that was not a horrendous look on the conference more than everybody but Lane there. Why does the NBA get such good TV coverage from ESPN when they don't deserve it? Because ESPN spent too much money buying the rights for the games. That's why. That's why. But anyway. All right, guys, I'm going to hang it up. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I really appreciate you being here as always. Don't forget to subscribe and like and do all that stuff. And I will see you guys on Tuesday after the game. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.